Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, good mate, yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
What's happening down there?
Oh, very little. How about up there? Life is normal?
Oh, life's weird up here. They banned like people from Victoria. Like you're allowed to come in New South Wales, but only for like four reasons.
Oh, really?
The border communities did, yeah. So usually when they put this border bubble, you're just allowed to come and go. It's like, so they've said, hey, you can still come and go, but only for like medical, education, work maybe, or I don't know, something else. So, which means like all the big, like the cafes and restaurants and stuff like that, because you've got to scan everywhere now, like you can't get in anywhere. So, yeah, they've all just begun, they're just all empty, which is really weird.
Yeah, wow. Because no one's moving, hey, they're just staying on their site.
Yeah, no one comes. People feel like think, oh yeah, you're New South Wales, but like 99% of our business is people coming from Victoria over the river. Like no one goes, oh, let's. No one from bloody Sydney or bloody, you know, even like Denny and Wagga. No one goes, let's go down to Miami for the weekend. Like it's we're very much like a Victorian town, so it's very strange. But yeah, like we went out for lunch yesterday, and it's just like we went to the golf club. Because New South Wales have got this cool thing where they give you every person in your household like $250 vouchers to like use at local restaurants and stuff. So we're like, so I got like $225 vouchers and Carly got $225 vouchers. So like, and we got a thing where we go out for lunch every Saturday. So we kind of went to the golf club yesterday and there would have been like, I reckon 15 people in their tops, which is like empty tables everywhere, staff walking around with nothing to do. So yeah, it's a bit sad for those guys, but I think then I felt bad using one of these vouchers. I'm like, but I think it goes, they get it straight from the government. You know, when people give you a gift voucher and then you're like, someone's giving you money for this, but then you feel like a bit of a dog going to cash it in if it's like a business just being affected by COVID.
That's funny because I'm actually drinking a Bolter right now and I actually used the Run to PB Christmas gift card.
Christmas gift, Oh, that's good.
So I thought, oh, I better use that because, so I had to make the trek into Dan Murphy's.
Good. Good to hear you drinking beers.
Thanks for that.
Run to PB, looking after their coaches. So let's keep this there. Let's just get rolling straight into this episode, hey? That was because last week we spoke some good stuff before we hit record. So welcome to episode number 5. of the Road to Divi 1 podcast series with a bit of our Road to Gold Coast in there as well for Andy Buchanan's Gold Coast Marathon debut build-up. We'll talk to a BAT member tonight. We're going to call one of the young BATs up, hear a bit about his running story, unpack Andy's week, probably get off track and talk about all types of different things throughout this episode like last week. You may have already heard because we did have the recording stuff going. He's on the beers this week. Andy Buchanan, welcome to this week's episode.
Thanks, Brady. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to come on here on a Sunday night and talk a bit of rubbish. Yeah. So yeah, thanks for having me on. How have you been going?
Don't have to thank me. Yeah, good. I'm going all right. I think you and I will be in similar headspaces about what could potentially happen this week. Just a bit of unknown for planning training and things like that. We had a bit of a shorter long run today, so I'm feeling pretty fresh for a Sunday night, thinking that would be potentially be racing next weekend, but I'm sure we'll talk all about that as we go. How are you feeling though? Like, obviously the COVID situation's got a lot more serious in Victoria. Last week we're kind of, I don't know, maybe a 50-50 chance we'll get into Launceston, and you know, thinking about Gold Coast wasn't even a thing this time last week, but there's some points of concern, I'm sure, from your end.
Yeah, definitely. It's like it's always changing. And I suppose now, especially because I'm in regional Victoria, we're kind of living life as per normal with no lockdown, that kind of stuff. And then you kind of forget that our those in the city are still living in lockdown. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's a bit of a funny headspace, like meant to be going to Launceston in under a week and can't really see that happening, but I don't know, the bigger concern at the moment is probably making sure I can get up to Gold Coast, because it'd be pretty frustrating kind of not being able to get up there. But it's I don't know, it's affecting everyone, so it's, I try not to stress about it and try not to dwell too much on it. And yeah, we've, I suppose Scott and I have put a few things in place just to try and make sure that I can definitely get up to Gold Coast, but I'd be lying to say that it hasn't come across my mind a few times in the last 3 or 4 days. So, yeah, watch this space, I suppose.
Affecting everyone in Victoria. Like, I think it depends on what part of Australia you're living in, the way you've been affected by it all. But, so I guess you guys have got to start thinking about when you can potentially get over the border. Because you can do that now, can't you? From regional Victoria, so, and then you've just got to follow the, have you got to do a 2 week like quarantine?
Yeah, so I've got to do, if I went into New South Wales, I have to, so if I went and visited you or stayed with you, for example, I'd have to do 2 weeks and I'd be under the same laws that Melbourne are at the moment. So you can only leave for exercise, you can only leave for food or for medical purposes. So that'd be 2 weeks that I'd have to do in New South Wales. So that is one option that we are looking at. Do I go up to Newcastle, which is where my coach is based, just 2 weeks before the marathon. So that way I know that I'll be able to get into Queensland. I'm not sure what the restrictions are at the moment from Melbourne to Queensland, but the big concern is, will Melbourne still be under lockdown? Because that's the only way we can get out of Victoria, essentially by plane up to Gold Coast. So at the moment, I dare say I might be going up to Newcastle and doing a little bit of training up there for a week or two before Gold Coast, which there's worse places to go. So it's not all doom and gloom from my end.
And you'll have 1 week school holidays and then take like a week's leave kind of thing? Is that what you think?
Yeah. That's, I need to ask the boss tomorrow. So hopefully he doesn't listen to this. There's a very slim chance he will. But yeah, I need to just ask the boss and see if I can get that approved. But they're normally pretty supportive of my running, so I think I should be able to get that done. Schools are a little bit funny with approving leave on the back end of holidays. We'll see. I don't know. I think it's exceptional circumstances, not like I'm going over to Bali to have a piss up for 2 weeks. So we'll just wait and see. But that's my plan B, just if cases continue to crop up in Melbourne and we're kind of all lumped in it. And because it's not looking great down there at the moment. So
would you potentially just drive it as well, if you're like, because you can drive, what, Sydney's like, I think 8 hours I think from Bendigo.
Yeah, it's, like, if you had to,
just break it up, just go 4 hours one way, 4 hours next day.
Yeah, something like that. But I suppose the tricky part is when you stop, you're under pretty strict restrictions. So that'd make it quite tough. But I don't know. I suppose I don't want to. It'd just be nice, because I think if you have 2 weeks out of Victoria, you're completely. If you have that 14-day quarantine kind of period, you're going to be completely safe. So I don't really want to take a roll of the dice and just fluke something. So it's, yeah, we'll just wait and see if we have to put that plan into the action.
Yeah, but that call would need to be in 2 weeks' time, wouldn't it? Like, yeah, yep, potentially.
Yep. I think I will probably know what are the options as of tomorrow, I'd say, and then have that in my back pocket if I need to do it.
Yeah, because some states, I was just looking at the Tassie like border rules for potentially this weekend, and they've just put a blanket on, like, if you're Victorian or been in Victoria in the last 2 weeks, they're not accepting you like at their border at the moment.
Yeah, right.
I was like, oh, I've got my New South Wales residence, but I work in Victoria. So that kind of rules me out as well, because I was talking to a travel agent friend and, yeah, she was like, no, fly from Melbourne will still leave. Like, they, instead of having 5 flights a day, they might condense it all to 1. So you can still get there and you can travel to Melbourne because you're in transit, as long as you don't stop at too many places on the way kind of down there. But she's like, your biggest problem will be trying to get an exemption to get into actually Tasmania because you've been in Echuca, whereas you reside in Moama kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, I wish they had regional Victoria and Victoria and Melbourne, Metro Victoria, two kind of set of rules. So much can change, just like this week to last week, like so much can change. We're recording Sunday night. It could be a different situation. Tassie might say midweek, hey, regional Victoria is under different rules than Metro Victoria. We're accepting people.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. And it's really tough for regional Victoria, but also for Metro Vic as well, because I don't know, I feel for them, but then at the same time, we're kind of often lumped into the same category as them, even though we don't have the cases. But yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, I don't know, I haven't really thought about Launceston too much, because I've nearly ruled it out. I know we're making a decision on Tuesday around what session I do, and then that will be the from there, it's like, yep, no matter what, we're sticking with X or Z kind of thing. But it's, I don't know, it's just annoying being up in the air, hey, because you'd normally be going, oh, sweet, I'm going down to Tassie next weekend, this is going to be good fun kind of thing. And it's a bit of an empty feeling, actually.
That's weird, yeah. And that's why I just filled out that, like, form online tonight, just for them to rather say yes or no. I'm like, I'm sick of thinking about this, and do I go to different airports, or what happens, or... And then I'm like, because I could have, like, if I, you know, wasn't truthful, I could have just not ticked that I have been in Victoria the last 2 weeks and have my New South Wales kind of ID and stuff. But I'm like, nah, I've got to do the right thing here. So I'm hoping they just they rather shut me down or they let me in, and that decides my kind of plan for next weekend. But, it's up in the air, and it's trying to, like, look after a few guys in our training group and trying to be like, all right, this is – maybe we train Wednesday, maybe we train Tuesday. This is the session we're meant to be doing, but that was the session because we're meant to be racing on Sunday. And it's just like, oh, it's mucking up programs all over the place. But I think it will still do something, though, because I think it's important to still do something and have that down week and have that kind of, you know, just something with a bit more pressure on maybe. But what we do is going to be, something we'll decide potentially this week.
Yeah, there's a bit of talk about a Bats time trial happening, which would be pretty exciting, actually.
Well, that's the thing. I was telling the boys on the long run this morning, like, we had 4 of us, so, like, myself, Archie, Glenn, and Nathan. Then you've got, you know, yourself, both the twins, Jamie the Beast Cooks in Bendigo, like, Steve Van Reeves, there's some Nigel Preston. Like, it gets to a field of 10. Pretty quality runners pretty quick. So, we could definitely set something up. It's just what to set up. Like, I don't really want to do another 10K track time trial just because I've been to that well before and taken out of it. I'm like, oh. But remember, we were organising that other one in June 12 months ago. I'm like, how the hell are we 12 months on? And I'm sitting here going, oh, what time trial do you want to plan? I'm like, really? frustrating.
Wait and see. Hopefully we don't have to have a time trial, but yeah, we'll just see.
Yeah.
See what happens.
I think our chances of the time trial are pretty high or something. Let's talk about your week though. Kicked it off on Monday with a 17.8K run at 420s.
Yep. bit of publicity for the podcast there, which was good, and got a bit of support.
Some good comments here, isn't there?
Fair few bats in there, which is good that people are getting around it. So it was just a, yeah, pretty, I know, obviously this week for me up till Thursday was I wasn't working. Ran there at 9:21, which is a bit of a luxury for me. That doesn't happen very often. So, just got out a little bit later there and enjoyed One Tree Hill. So we had the 5K radius where we couldn't run outside of 5K in any direction from our house. So I'm pretty lucky. I think I've got every training location nearly within the 5K. So the track, the lake, and One Tree Hill and everything. So while I was running a lot of the same tracks for the whole week, I'm pretty lucky in that I can run in most normal spots. So that was pretty cruisy. Fair bit of technical. As you can see on the map, it's quite windy along there. So that's pretty technical. So that kind of slows you down a little bit. And then got out for a good Arvo loop apparently on Monday afternoon. So just 7.5K there, 4:27s. Just nice and cruisy.
You've got that old privacy setting on, so your loops don't actually look that good. I think I've got the same thing. You know when you do a good loop, but you leave from home, and then it cuts it like...
Yeah, so it looks like you finish at different spots. Yeah, I don't want too many people knowing exactly where I live. Yeah, but especially with kids, you can't trust kids these days.
Yeah, your house being egged and stuff.
Being a school teacher, so... and then actually did a session with our guest, who's going to jump on. He's just actually slaving away at GYG at the moment. So I've got to wait for him to finish work and then he'll join us pretty soon. The life of a teenager. Hey,
what's GYG?
Guzman and Gomez. Have you?
Oh yeah. Didn't that place get shut down?
It did. But then, so it was actually owned, privately, and everyone who worked there was just giving away free burrito cards and all that kind of stuff. So the business did very poorly. And then, the company bought it off or bought them out, and then now they've opened it up again. So it's exactly the same business, just company owned. And I think they've been a bit stricter with who's been employed. But that's something we can ask Matt. We can ask if there's many free burrito cards getting given out, but I bloody love it.
This is the place, like it's across the road from where you guys start your long run.
Yep. Still in there. Next to Macca's there. Yep. Still in exactly the same spot. They literally closed it. I think they took everything out and then they just put the same shit back in again and then reopened it a few months later. So we were very happy at work. We actually had GYG celebration week where I think we had it maybe 3 or 4 of the days for lunch. But the good thing is there you can have tacos, like hard or soft. You can have a burrito or burrito bowl, and they all taste different. So you can go there every day, and yeah, it's bloody great. I love it. You ever been?
Yeah, I've been there once, I reckon. I remember doing a session. I was going to do a hilly, like bush loop session, but it was hammering down rain, and I ended up going from the bottom of One Tree Hill over the top and then dropping down to Mandarin Road there.
Yeah.
And then doing a UE and coming back over and down again. So it was about 10K. It was good to go. It's good because it's good surface. Like you see where you put your foot every time you put it down. And then I remember having a burrito there afterwards. And then just drove back to Echuca. It was good.
Yeah. No, I really love it. I reckon we need to get Matt to see if we can get a GYG sponsor on board the bats.
And does everyone call it GYG? Is that like a cool thing to do or you just do that?
I don't know, actually. That's probably a question for... I feel like Guzman and Gomez is it's a bit of a tongue twister, that one. So I just like GYG.
Ask the guest when we get him in.
Yeah, exactly. We'll hit him with the big question up front. On Tuesday, I did a session with Matt. So Ned was actually... His twin was feeling a bit crook. And I wasn't sure to... Because we can only exercise with one other person under these restrictions. And I kind of sent them a message being like, oh, I'm doing this session. I don't know how we can do this because I didn't want to invite one but not invite the other. And Ned's like, oh, no, I've got a bit of a cold, so I'm going to stay home. So that worked well. We went to the QEO here in Bendigo, which is our main big footy oval. Like if there's any AFL practice games or anything, they do it on this oval. So it's pretty good grass. It's not great at the moment. Over winter, they kind of let it go. But we did, 20 by 1 minute on, 1 minute off. So I did this session a lot last year. I remember doing it during winter, and it's just, it's not a lot of fun. It just goes forever, and you kind of get, I find you get probably between 8 and 12 reps. I reckon they're the toughest because you're like, oh, I'm not even halfway. And you're like, oh, I'm only just over halfway. So have you ever done this session before? Have you done one minute on float? Or
not by 20. Yeah. That's a long time to be going around an oval, though, 40 minutes.
It is. It is. So, yeah, 40 minutes, 12.45 for a 3:15 average. Just looking at my laps now, most of my ons were kind of around, 252, 253 kind of thing. And then a lot of the floats, they started off around 350, then probably got a lot of them down to low 340s and then kind of 330s. So I find it's a session I need to work into it and get those first few out of the way and don't go to the well too early. But it's just tough, and I really like it because you just set your watch on to beep every minute and it counts for you, and you just listen for the beep, and then as soon as the beep goes, you start floating and then you go harder. And you're not thinking about pace, you're not thinking about how far you've got to go, just, I don't know, I find it a really simple session in that way, that you're not concerned about how you feel or anything like that. So that's what I like about it. But it was a long session around an oval. But I find that makes you nice and, I don't know, mentally but also physically pretty tough, because it's not like the lake where you're running on bitumen and you're getting a lot from your super shoes. You have to work a little bit harder, actually. So, yeah, it's good fun. Matt joined me for that. So he actually did four sets of 4 minute on, minute float, and then he would sit one set out, and then he would jump back in. So he did really well because he hasn't done a lot of that floating kind of stuff where you're kind of keeping that heart rate quite high, and that's probably something that the newer you are to running, you probably struggle a little bit, whereas when you've been running for 5, 6, 7 years like we have, that aerobic stuff, you've got a bit more in the tank. So yeah, Matt did 10K and did that in 35 minutes. So that's pretty impressive. I was impressed by him because I thought I had a pretty good session, and he was only having 2 minutes out, which isn't a big recovery time between sets. So I was pretty pleased with how he went with that one. We were planning on doing 3 sets of 4, and then we're just going to see how he went in that last set. He was only wanting to do 2, and I said, nah, let's do 3. Let's just try and push on a little bit, just because, you know, when your mind's telling you, oh, I've just got to get through 2 reps, and you're kind of like, oh yeah, that's my comfort zone. And then sometimes it's good to push the envelope just that little bit, just so that you can kind of tell your brain, no, I can do that extra set. So I said, do 3, and he actually did 4. So I was pretty impressed with that, because it would have been easy for him to say, no, I'm just doing 2. That's what you said at the start, so I'm sticking to that.
And that's these workouts, like, they expose you physically and mentally. Your brain never gets a break. You've always got to keep the float on. And, like, physically, you're just constantly, heart rate's getting higher. The longer you go, the more it goes up. Like, it's hard to keep down. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No, exactly. So it's, I've never done more than 20. So I don't think I'd be in any rush to do more than 20. I think that's probably my limit. But, yeah, I often do 16. That's probably what I normally do. But this one was just a bit further, just to make sure we're working a little bit harder. So yeah, that was Tuesday, which was good fun. And then went out for a double in the afternoon, and obviously saw a few kids on this run, because the title there's a few junior bats flyby. So I think we still weren't at work, and I saw a fair few of the kids I coach in ADP that were out running, which was good. And joined Harry Boyd, who's a young year 10 future bat. He'll be pretty good once he's in the senior ranks. So that was pretty boring arvo run there, but it was good to see a few people out. Then Wednesday, my least favorite run of the week, the midweek long run. I just hate these runs. They're just a grind, trying to run pretty fast. And this was
the average 401s.
Yeah, well, this wasn't my normal loop, because my normal loop goes out of my 5K radius. I kind of had to change it up a little bit, and this is probably a little bit easier, I reckon. I did 26k in an hour 45, an average 401, so I think I got rolling a bit earlier than what I normally do. It wasn't, I don't know, I hate Wednesdays. They're just don't know. I suppose when you look at it, you're like, yeah, you're running 26K midweek. So that's pretty hard.
Yeah, that was our long run today, Sunday.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people's long run. Like an hour 45 is a legit long run.
That's what Croaks loves, isn't it? That's his distance.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Similar pace, definitely. 2:401s.
Yeah, he'd drop me, I reckon. He runs hills as well. Mine's pretty flat, so.
His heart rate be a bit higher than yours, though.
Yeah, I'd say so. And then, yeah, Thursday just did a bit of a strange-looking loop, this one, but 15.9, just 4:24s, pretty cruisy. Can't actually really remember that run, so obviously nothing eventful happened. And then another Arvo run. So I think I Arvo'd nearly every day this week, apart from Wednesday and Sunday. But it was pretty easy because I wasn't working too much. So, and then, getting to a few of the saucy workout for the week. So went out to Huntley. So this was Friday. So first day back at work, which is a bit of a shock to the system. But we actually trained in the morning here, right for that first period off. So I kind of get into work at 9:30, which is quite good. So we met out in Huntley at, well, it was meant to be 6:30. I was running a bit late because I had to pick up Sean, and he was waiting for his dog to go to the toilet or something like that. So I was a little bit late, so I let the group down there a little bit. But we had had a fair few here, actually. We had both the twins. Tully was with us, Matt Hook, Nigel, and also Steve Van Reese was out there as well. So
these kids drive, and this is after regional Victoria's come out of lockdown. So the group's back together. Like, how do these kids get out to Huntley, which we're talking northern side of Bendigo here, listeners? Probably like, I don't know, 15 minutes drive for you out of Bendigo?
Yeah, probably about 15 or 20. So Matt and Ned have their P's.
Okay.
So they can get out there all right, whereas Tully is... She's very lucky that her mum drives her. Her dad also drives her sometimes. But for her, that's probably a 30 or 40-minute drive out there. So I always give Tully the option. I say, this is what we're doing. You can do this from home. But she's always pretty keen to come out with the group. So I hope she thanks her parents, because that's a fair old drive all the way out to Huntley. But that was good. So we had... so I had 6K at kind of, the plan was to go 2:55s, and then have 5 minutes recovery. So pretty much a full recovery and then punch a pretty hard 3K. So I ran the first 6K in 17:26, which was 2:54s. So yeah, kind of got moving there, which, I don't know, a lot of my sessions I do pretty controlled, and I hadn't had a good kind of really push for a few weeks, probably since Lardner Park. So this was just a bit of a, let's just get in that uncomfortable zone and see where we're at kind of thing. So yeah, did that 6K and then had 5 minutes and then rolled a 3K in 8:22s, which is 2:47. So yeah, walked away pretty happy with that. Pretty solid amount of work. So yeah, I was stoked. It was good having Sean Forrest on the bike. So he was keeping me motivated and taking a heap of photos and videos along the way. So that ended up being 9.4K.
So did you get on the wheel, or he was just there like on the side?
Yeah, no, we have pretty strict rules around this. So he never breaks any wind or anything. He's always like, literally imagine a road, I'm on one side and he's essentially on the other side. So he's more so probably there as just a bit of I don't know, company kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas he's never actually never pacing, because I think that's, I don't know, I reckon that's a bit of cheating if you're getting a bike to pace you. Like, that never happens in a race, so why would you do it in training kind of thing? So yeah,
you get people in races, though.
Yeah, you do.
Stimulate sitting on a pack. It makes it a whole lot easier. That's, so I'm glad you said you don't do that. Like, it's, you've made this work out harder for yourself, not having him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I reckon the very first time he joined us out there on the bike, he was like, oh, I'm not pacing for you. Like, that's not my role here kind of thing. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And then I actually had Matt Hook out on the bike as well.
Two people on the bike.
Yeah, it was a good morning, actually. It was Matt had his Bluetooth speaker, so he was getting a bit of J. Cole Pumping, which was good. His new album's really, I quite like it. So that was, very, I don't know, very strange for us. We're normally very low key and don't have anyone there at all. But it's obviously they're keen to see what all the hype is about the Bats, I think.
Yeah, so, take that. That's good.
Yeah. But no, Hookie was like, oh, do you want me to take some of this wind? And I was like, nah, stay over there kind of thing. So
is it a bit windy as well? It's a bit windy up here. Like, not massive, but like when you're trying to run the paces you're running, the slightest bit of wind can slow you down a bit when you're trying to run 250 pace.
Yeah, we were really lucky in that with where the wind was, it was only on, I don't know if you're looking at the loop, but there's the very top section of it where the old Murray Road is. It was only a bit of wind on that part, which is probably only 500 metres long, the very top end of the loop.
Yeah.
And the rest of it was pretty well protected. So I think the wind was in the perfect spot where you just slightly noticed it along there, but that was it. So that was a pretty big... That was a pretty big session. I was pretty fatigued after that. That was probably the most fatigued I've been for a while. That, and just having to go to work.
Fast. Like, it's a fast workout.
Yeah, I don't, like, Scotty gave me those paces, and I don't know where they come from. So I was meant to hit kind of 255s and then 8:30 for the 3K. So I hit 8:22. So a little bit fast, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know where he got those paces from. I think he just wanted me to have a good, solid kind of hit out kind of thing. And this was planned when Launceston was still going ahead. So I think it was a bit of a tune-up kind of thing for Launceston.
Yeah, bit quicker than marathon, half marathon pace.
Yeah, I reckon. And just to get get the engine kind of going and all that kind of stuff. And it was, I don't know, you know, that feeling after a big session of just that kind of general fatigue. Had that for the whole day at work. I was, actually, we got GYG for lunch, which was definitely the highlight of the day there after that big session. So that was good fun. Probably the highlight of the week for me, just because we had an awesome group, which was really good. And it was just good to be running as a group again, because that was the first day where we could actually run with more than two people. I had Matt for company. He did 2.5K and then 2K of the 6K and then did 1.5K of the 3K. So he did well. That's a pretty impressive session for him, because I was really happy with how I went. So he did pretty well. So we can ask him all about that when he comes on. And then in the afternoon, I got out to my favourite res loop and your favourite loop in Bendigo, the one that I took you on that time. But yeah,
super hilly,
yep. Ankle not breakers. Easy running, single track, all the fun stuff, what you love. And then this is one of my favorite loops in Bendigo, actually. I call it dead center because literally probably the middle of this loop is the center of Victoria, so that's where that title kind of comes from. Good fun, good loop. Actually looks like a loop as well because I didn't run from home. So that was 17.7K.
Does look good on Strava.
Yeah. Nice, full, complete loop. I want to try and get a real nice circle one day, but it's a bit hard because there's a few private properties in there. And then just an Arvo run in Saturday afternoon. And then this morning, just did 34.9K, 2.5 hours, just kind of the bread and butter. Nothing special today. Probably the last half an hour was probably around 4:10s, I think, once I'd left the group. Just a nice solid long run today with nothing special. So that got me 192, I think. So I think it's probably my second biggest week ever. So, yeah, it was pretty good.
With your, three of the last 5 weeks have been 190 or higher, which is pretty cool to see in Strava.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's going to be so strange when I, like, once I've run Gold Coast and to go back to like 160 or 170K weeks, it's going to feel so strange because you look at like my last, like even since probably the middle of March, like there's some pretty high blue bars in there. And it's going to be weird to go back to 160 or 70 and see, I suppose, how my body adapts to that. Because I think my body's really handled the high mileage quite well. And I think it works for some people, but doesn't work for others.
Yeah.
Whereas yeah. I think it's been the different stimulus that my body needed. And I think I'm probably in the best shape. I think it kind of shows, like me running a 3K PB kind of off what the training I'm doing now kind of just shows I'm in probably the best shape I've been in. But it's going to be weird just dropping back to 160K and doing like 2 hour long runs. Whereas I'm just so used to doing 2.5. It's going to be strange. I'll have all this energy and won't know what to do. I might get a bit more housework done around the house or something like that.
That could be a thing.
Could be.
Is our guest ready? Do you know?
Let me just see. He said he should be ready by this time. So
let's see if he's got it there. I've been on the recruiting drive a bit. I've got a couple of names for you here that will come into the Bendigo Bats team in the next couple of races. So one of our big names, Jamie the Beast Cook, is he actually signed? Do you know?
Yes.
Signed, dotted line, good.
He has signed. He was asking for a singlet, so I think that's the most official you can ever get. So good. He was ready to make his debut at St. Anne's, but yeah, unfortunately that all got postponed. So I think I did see
on Strava though that he put in a 10K time trial in 30:35. That's a pretty impressive run down there. So that's good form for him there. And your mate you spoke about before, Sean Forrest, he seems to be pretty active on Strava as well. He seems like he's getting fit.
He is getting fit. I think he's trying to take the Strava King title off Michael Kernahan. Because if you noticed, he's every run, he's been going out and getting all these CRs.
Yeah.
So I think Kerners would be fanboying him a little bit at the moment. Sean's getting fit. He's all about the bats, and he actually asked me for a singlet yesterday. So he's really keen. I know the Mentone. What do you call them? Mentone Mavericks.
Yeah.
That'd be. I think if they hear this, they'll be a bit disappointed because I reckon Sean Williams down there was banking on getting Sean Forrest to run for them. But I think he's a bat through and through. He's a Bendigo boy. So, it's pretty exciting actually.
We've got another guy moving to town, Patrick Stowe. Have you heard of him from Albury?
I have heard mainly through Ash Watson. No, not Ash, Ash Watson.
Ash Hoffman, his coach.
Hoffman, just talking absolute bulk rubbish, talking him up all the time.
Yeah, he's got very big. I guess like hype around him. A lot of people think he's the next big thing up there in Albury. I think Albury hasn't had any good runners for such a long period of time though. So when someone with a bit of talent comes along, they just snap him up. And Ash is his coach, of course. So he wants Ash to be pumping up his own tires.
Yeah, I suppose when Ash is the big dog in town, it doesn't really set a very high standard for everyone, does it? So
He's moving to Echuca to do his physio rounds. I think he's here. Yeah, he comes next weekend. I think he's here for like 2 or 3 months as well. And has expressed a bit of interest that he may slot into a Bendigo bat singlet. Like Albury obviously don't have, they used to have a team in AV. But he's recently won the Nail Can Hill run. I think he ran like the third fastest time ever there. Pretty sure he ran like 30:30 down at Run the Bridge in Tassie.
Yeah.
So he's a quality guy, but that's the kind of times you need to be running to make our Divi 2 team at the moment. Yeah, you wouldn't want to be much slower than 30:30 hoping to get a run.
That's the thing. I think he might need to do a bit of a fitness test just to prove current fitness because it's not just a walk up and you get in the top team, especially with the Beast joining us now. It's going to be pretty competitive, especially for some of those shorter races where some of our young blood are probably pretty handy. So it's pretty exciting.
It is exciting. Yeah, exciting. Well. It's exciting that guys like him and guys like his coach Ash Hoffman are sniffing around and want to get involved with a good team environment as well.
Well, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they want to join? Matty's ready, so you'll just cut this bit out, will you? Because what do I need to do? Do I need to add call? Is that what I do?
Yeah, add into the call. There's a little picture, like next to my picture or your picture, there should be like a person there with a plus sign.
Yeah.
Just click him there and add him in. I reckon he's here now.
Oh, Matt.
G'day, guys.
How you going, mate?
Sounds good, too.
Yeah. Did you go the old school headphones?
Yeah, just got the gaming headset on.
Oh, shit. See, you are.
This is legit.
Yeah, that's. I love that. That's. You're showing your age there, which is good. Which is good. But, yeah, no, very big welcome to the Road to Divi 1 podcast, Matt Buckle.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the podcast just to talk a bit of crap with Brady and I. Our youngest guest we've ever had. You're our second guest. So, yeah, it's really good to have you on. And I suppose it's one of the reasons why we did this was just to promote the bats and all that kind of stuff. And I think we've we're a pretty unique running group. And one of the great things about the XCR series is how we all kind of work together as a team, and a lot of individual runners come together. So,
yeah,
we're looking forward to having a chat to you for the next 15-20 minutes. First question I have sent you through a few questions, but you're not prepared for this one.
Yeah.
But what do you call your workplace, your new workplace? What's the first thing you call it?
Guzzy.
Guzzy.
Yeah.
That sounds much cooler than whatever you were
Guzzy
calling
it. Guzzy or
Andy.
GYG.
Yeah.
GYG.
See, I was calling it GYG, and Brady was like, is that exactly what it's called, or Guzzy?
Some people call it Guzman as well, but I find that a bit weird.
Yeah. Guzzy. Okay, I'll have to practice that. And do you want to tell Brady the bet that I made with you and Ned a few months ago?
Yeah, what race was that before? Do you know? Was that a Milers?
I reckon it was a 3K at Box Hill.
Yeah. So week out from the race, Andy sent me and Ned a message because he knows we love burritos from Guzzy. And he says, if you boys have one, like, limit yourself to one burrito for the week, I'll share your burrito after the race. And me and Ned said, we'll do zero burritos for the whole week in the upcoming, and we didn't have a burrito, so we ended up getting shouted from Andy for a feed.
Yeah, because, Brady, these boys were eating burritos like they were going out of fashion. And I was like, it's good food, but you've got to be nice and light for these races. So it was, it was good for
worried about race weight.
Oh, a little bit. These, like, literally, I think their parents went away for a little bit. And I don't know if it was you or Ned, Matt, but I think some of you were having a consecutive lunch. And
yeah, I was working a lot, so I was getting a bit of money, and that was basically going all into Guzzy.
Matt, there's some people that don't like eating the food that they work, like, at their workplace, because they see how it's prepared and stuff.
Yeah,
it sounds
yeah.
like you're a big fan of it. Doesn't impact you at all.
Well, I only just got the job at Guzzy, so didn't know how it was made, and it's still not going to stop me from eating it because it's that good.
That's good. But, that's good.
Yeah, even when I was at Macca's, I'd still make my own food and just make it kind of better than any other burger I'd make.
How much does a burrito cost down there?
Fair bit. Just about $12.
$12, yeah. That's rough for an 18-year-old.
Yeah,
it is. But
and Matt, was that the race where you ran 8:28, 3K? I reckon I remember watching it on the TV up here in Moama.
Yeah, I think it might have been. I think so. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I reckon it was. And I just, so everyone knows, I held up my end of the bet there, and I took you boys out for lunch, I think it was. So I paid my dues there. But yeah, you are one of the Buckle twins that probably a lot of people would know you as one of the twins. So you are Matt Buckle. And just, I suppose, to start off with, I actually don't know your PBs. So do you want to tell us, just quickly run us through some of your PBs? Do you have an 800 PB?
I do. It's 204, but that was ran like 2-3 years ago when I did a medium Bendigo.
Yeah, nice. 1500?
Yeah, so 1500 is 358, which I ran this year as well.
Yep, and you then, got the W for that one, didn't you?
Yeah,
for
I did.
Milers?
Yeah.
And then, tell us a bit about that race.
Oh, I was going to answer that later down the track when you said...
Oh, okay.
Yep. Do you want to save that?
Yeah, we'll save that. So yep. 3K...
And then I got 3K, which is 8:28, which I did in, I think, March in the out of 3K in Box Hill.
Yeah.
And then my 5K, unofficially 1 year ago today, I ran a 14:52. Brady was there as well, and so were you at the Bendigo track.
Yep, that's funny. We were literally talking about that just before, because we were talking about how we might have to be doing a time trial. And then Brady said, oh, yeah, it was nearly a year ago we did a 10K, so... You just, what happened that day? Do you want to talk us through what happened at the track that day for you?
I know Jared Clifford was there, a few others. Andrew Roering, I think, wanted to do a 10K time trial. Yep. And I just sit in for 5Ks at the very back. And got pulled through for a PB, which was like over a minute 20 PB, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty big, but it was perfect for you, wasn't it? Just literally just going straight to the back and sitting there and being a body in the race, which was good for the guys ahead. But yeah, what's your official?
Official is 15:06.
Yeah.
Which I think my next 5K race, I'll be able to smash that.
Yeah, I think you will be. Have you ever raced anything over?
So I got a 10K here, which was 29 in Melbourne Marathon, which is 33:40. I wasn't going to include that, but just going into Gold Coast, thought it might be worth mentioning.
Yeah, so what we've spoken about what your job is. We've spoken about that probably long enough. But what races have you got coming up?
So what's the XCR race that we were supposed to have? St. Anne's?
St. Anne's,
We were supposed to have that, and that's postponed. Not sure when to. But my next major race is Gold Coast, 10 kilometer.
Yep.
And I'm just hoping to go sub 31, and then that's my next race that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
big chance of that, I think, Matt. Like, if you can, you know, comfortably run 14:50-ish, 15 dead, like slowing that down to 15:30 is going to feel like you're jogging through halfway, I think.
Well, yeah, I set the goal of sub 31 quite a while ago, probably like at the start of the year. And just with the way training's going and some of the races, I think going to closer to 30 flat would be almost a better goal, or sub 30.
Yeah. No, I think that's, and especially after your result, and Matt is actually your 18 at the moment, Matt runs in our Div 2 team, so he actually, himself and Ned, have to pay AV a fee to run in the open age group, which I think is a bit crap, but that's all right.
A one-off fee though, isn't it? Surely.
I think so, yeah.
This could be
another conspiracy against Bendigo Bats. Yeah. Surely you don't charge the junior kids to run in the open race.
We hope not. And we hope that he doesn't have to pay another $25 to get it changed.
Considering I'm a bat, maybe I might have to pay again.
You might get the bat tax. But Matt did finish 17th down at Lardner Park, which is pretty impressive. Like, top 20, that's a pretty... there's some good names behind you, and you were the third bat across the line there as well, which was, pretty big effort for an 18-year-old. So they are some of Matt's PBs, but probably the trend I'm noticing is all of those PBs were essentially set in 2021.
Yeah.
So you've had a pretty big year. Why do you think this year's been so successful for you?
I think, just as well as growing and just like putting my head down and actually doing the work, in like BEC when I was in high school, it was like I'd get injured a fair bit, lose motivation. But now that there's a lot more races going on, and I've got you to train with, I've got Ned and heaps of others to surround myself with, I think that really helps with motivation and training, which has helped with races, of course.
The bat culture, hey?
Yeah.
You love it. What's your favourite, this is my favourite question we ask all of our guests, your favourite AV club that you like beating / racing against? We'll go the beating part because we're beating a lot of clubs at the moment. So what's your favourite club to beat up on?
I think after Lardner, I'd have to say Western A's, because they were standing in front of us bats, like me, Ned, Archie and Nath. And I know, just giving us weird looks. I was pretty uncomfortable standing behind him, and it's just good to roll like most of them.
Yeah.
No, and I beat him as a team as well.
Yeah, I like that answer. That's good. Now, your favourite race you've done? I think we know the answer to this one, but you want to talk us through that race. So the 1500
metre. It was like my first 1500 metre in over a year, and before that, my PB was 4:12. And I think me and Ned chucked in a 4:05 for the CTOM. You had something to say?
What race was this?
It
was
a Vic Miles, I think, meet 4 at Duncan MacKinnon.
Yep. And you go.
Yeah, the 4:05 seat time, I think that was like most of the field, everyone was around 4:05 to 4:08. And got a pretty bad start, got stuck at the back, but Kerners immediately went to the front after about 200 meters and just put the hammer on from there. And so I had to slowly make my way up to the front and coming to the last lap, I remember passing, I think, Archie, who was in second, getting on the guy who was in first on his shoulder along the back straight. And Ned was right behind me and I just were very competitive but didn't want him beating me that night. And I could hear him come up to me right to overtake me and I said, no, I'm not letting this happen. So put the hammer down in the last 100 metres, just gave it everything.
Yeah, and, nice.
Yeah, the reason it's my favourite race is because me and Ned both won two. Even though it's a miler's race, it just made me pretty happy and proud of how far Ned's came.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Miss injury. That's something we will we're going to get Ned on probably, you know, a week or two and chat about that. But
I was watching that race though, Matt, and you could see the emotion on your faces, like when you both crossed the line,
there's big
hugged
smiles.
Each other, and you kind of won and then looked back to see where he was. Yeah, it was really kind of special. I think the commentators make note that obviously you guys are identical twins. So, it's pretty kind of cool to see you both out there going 1-2 in races. Like it was Vic Myler's B race, but it was still like quality competition, I think.
Yeah. Especially for me, Ned, because 1,500 metres is a lot shorter than what we're used to doing.
Yeah.
It was nearly the fairy tale kind of finish. Like you guys running, both of you running, you ran sub 4. Did Ned run sub 4?
Yeah, Ned ran a second slower than me, which is like 3:59.
Yeah, so both the time, first time breaking 4 and coming 1-2, it was, I'll remember that race for a while, actually. Yeah. So that's a pretty special one, and big shout out to Vic Myler for all the work they do. Looking forward to the answer for this one. Favourite workout, because we spend a lot of time together, and you kind of do a lot of my workouts with me. We just kind of make it a little bit less for you. But what's your favorite workout?
I think this was easier than my least favorite, but I did 1K reps at the lake, especially. I don't know, something about 1K reps I really like. I think they're a perfect distance and off 60 seconds. I know it's just a good session to get done, I reckon.
Yeah, it is. I've been saying this for years that the lake is the best spot in Australia to do K reps, isn't it?
Yeah. And you do like 100 on each side and you only have to really focus in the middle part.
Especially this time of the year when not too many people are down there walking dogs and stuff as well. Like the cold weather and the darkness kind of keeps them away, which is good.
Yeah. And what was, other than your last K rep session, the one before that when you did with Scott, was that, how'd you find that one?
Yeah, that was good. I jumped in with you for the first 3 or 4 and they were like just below 255s for the first 4. And I think that was off 90 and I was struggling then. So I jumped in with Scotty and Ned, which we did a 309, which helped me a lot and got me through the rest of the session, I think.
Yeah. You'll probably just, just a little bit ahead of where you should have been and run like a little bit fast. But Scotty, with his wisdom, kind of pulled you back a little bit.
Yeah, and it was good to finish off the session as well from the 309 to bring it back down as well.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. And that's probably what Brady and I never used to do back in the day when we were your age, running around there.
Once you hit the first one, it's like, all right, now do 8 like that.
Nah, I got to get faster.
Yeah.
What about your least favourite workout?
This is probably the hardest question of the night. I reckon I don't really have a session I don't like, but my least favourite might be 400 metres reps, because, I don't know, I just feel like they take forever later on in the session.
I thought you were going to say minute on, minute off on a wet QEO oval. In next percent.
That was probably up there.
Did you suggest to him, Matt, I don't know why he did that session. I asked him before why he didn't do it on the road or something. But did you maybe suggest like, hey, maybe we should find a flat road, go 20 minutes out, do a Yui, 20 minutes back? Would have been much more enjoyable.
Not really. I have a lot of trust in Andy and whatever he says. I just don't even think twice about it.
and that comes...
keep it that way. It's a good relationship to have.
Twofold from Scott, whatever Scott kind of tells me. There's no thinking. It's just... like jump off a bridge and just how high kind of thing. And so it's, but now the reasoning behind that was just because we had been doing a little bit on the roads and knew there was a big road workout coming on Friday, so it was just to get on the grass, just to just a bit of working smarter, not harder there. And then, yeah, probably my second last question here is a runner that you admire. So that can be locally or as big a picture as you want.
So I've got two. I've got Andy is number one, just because Andy what Buchanan. You do. Yeah.
Me?
Andy Buchanan, okay. Yeah.
This was just not planned.
Loaded question.
Oh, I promise it wasn't. Just because all the stuff that you do for Bendigo Running, and like, I just feel like you have heaps of like the running in Bendigo like on your shoulders. I think like you're a big, I don't know how to explain it, big person in the running in Bendigo.
Role model.
Yeah, role model. And then second, I've got Craig Engels, just because I reckon he looks like a good bloke and brings a lot of energy and passion into the sport of running.
Yeah, nice. He does have a good amount of swag, doesn't he?
Yeah. And his mullet.
He had a good race the other day as well, Matt.
Yeah.
So he hasn't had a good one in a while, so it's good to see him back.
Yeah.
Hey, talking about Andy, Matt, what's some of the things you get to rub shoulders with him a couple times a week and train with him? Like, have you noticed any traits or anything that you learn from him that you like, you know, try to implement into your own attitude towards running? Found out any of his secrets?
Secrets? I'm not quite sure. You'd have to give me a few minutes to think about this one. But there probably is definitely some stuff that I do without noticing that is from Andy.
Hmm.
But just the way I go about my running, probably.
Yeah.
And just like staying motivated, getting it done.
Yep, good answer. Consistency has been pretty good at that over the years. You two have got, I was talking to Archie about this the other day. You guys have got similar stories how you've both been involved in the sport of running from a young age through your parents. Like I remember, you know, your old man John and your mum Callie, isn't it? Like they used to take you to the races when you were super young kids. Like, I remember you guys running around when you were like, would it be like 5 and 6 and stuff?
Yeah, I remember doing like a 500-meter King of the Mountain and would have won that year.
Yeah, we're talking a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few years back then. But that's what I remember. I remember you you getting around and stuff, and then it's cool that you're kind of now, you know, trying to reach your potential and putting in some hard yards with the training. Because most kids, they disappear kind of after those years. What, you would have noticed that as well.
What do you put that down to, Matt? So obviously a lot of people wouldn't know, but I've coached you for, probably 8 years now?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, well, actually, probably 6, because now you're into the 6th year of school. I started coaching Matt when he started in year 7. He came through my school, and that's the thing. As you said, you probably you and Ned were interesting, where you loved running and you're quite talented, but the thing you struggled with is putting together that good kind of 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, Brady said it before with like consistency.
Yeah, something I've definitely
learned.
Yeah, exactly.
Over the past few years.
I think COVID kind of came at the perfect time for you because you were like, I want to buckle down, pun intended, and get really into my running and see what I can do, because there's probably a lot of people in Victoria that on the AV scene that wouldn't have heard of you, and then they're like, who are these two young twins? Where have they come from? So what would you give? Any advice? What would you give advice to, say, someone that is, say, 13 or 14 at the moment, and they're just starting their running, to help them make sure that they can be running well when they're 18, 19, 20, and so on?
Just enjoy it as much as you can, because I think if you take it too seriously, you get caught up with yourself, and you just like lose motivation eventually, and like you just don't look forward to running every day.
Yeah.
Because you get to like 18, 19, and even older, once you like things are starting to get serious, you can't really like motivate yourself when you're not.
Yeah.
Like myself, I like to I used to run in BSE but just never had consistency, and I was still enjoying myself. And now I know it's time to like knuckle down and do the work, which I enjoy.
Perfect. Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. Brady, you got any more hard-hitting questions for Matt?
Nah, that's all for me, Matt, but I might see you if we do a time trial again later in this week coming. But I got a bit of a glimpse. I think you were maybe our fifth fastest maybe at the relays, the first round. Was that when I get that right? Yep. got you in here, 1922, just behind Archie at 1919. So you kind of went from, what, fifth fastest up to our third fastest at in our team for Lardner Park. And I got a bit of a glimpse. You know, you and I weren't far from each other. I was ninth, you were 17th. And a couple of times I kind of looked over my shoulder, you know, when you kind of go up and back just to see where everyone else in the team was. So
I don't really look over my shoulder, but Lardner Park was something else. I was looking over every corner. To see
there was ways to do it though, wasn't it? Yeah.
Archie or Nathan were coming up.
Yeah, and when I turned at like, you know, 6K and I'm like, oh shit, there's Matt. I'm like, he's having a blinder. Like, this was a huge run. So, yeah, looking forward to spending the rest of the season alongside you, smashing up some of these people from Melbourne and Geelong and Ballarat and wherever else they come from.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. There's a great photo on, I think it might be on AV Facebook, and it must be coming through with a lap to go, and there's Archie, Nath and Matt, and they're literally all behind each other, and it just gets me excited about the depth, and give these guys 5 years and they're going to be even better kind of thing. So it's pretty exciting, and I'm really lucky to have yourself, Matt, and also and Ned helping me, because you guys helped me a lot. I know that on Friday we were actually in the last 3K of the rep, well, the last rep 3K, I know I said, oh, I'll get the first 500 and then you kind of take over from there, and I was probably running a bit too fast and you were just kind of sitting in, and you actually apologized for not taking the lead, but it's honestly just having you there is something I'm not used to. And I was telling Brady how good the vibes were that morning, having like Sean on the bike and then also Hookie on the bike playing
with J. Cole.
Yep, that's the
I've been glued to him, Andy.
Yeah, it's good.
I'll turn him off, yeah.
Good, it's good for listeners out there, get around his new album. Off season, is it? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, have you listened to it, Brady?
Nah, too old for this stuff by the sound of things. J. Cole, you reckon?
Yeah.
Nah, I'll give it a spin. You've pumped it up pretty big here. Yeah. Rightio, fellas. Well, we're done for episode 5. Thanks for giving us some time to share a bit of your story with us, Matt. And now the listeners can keep track of you throughout the season. Hopefully, COVID gets sorted in Melbourne and the next round goes ahead. That's what I'm concerned about now. We've got this gun team together, and then the whole season gets cancelled, and we've got to spend another bloody 12 months in Div 2 because they won't put us up. So, imagine that. Like, it's 2023, we finally get up there. But anyway, so thanks, fellas. Thanks, listeners, for tuning in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No worries.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Brady.
And we're not sure when we'll record next because we don't have a clue when we're racing next. So we'll see what happens in the next week or so.
Yeah, who knows?
See you, boys.
See you. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.